Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. In the series finale of the Mythos Mysteries, the Mystery Punchers have arrived at the remains of the church and are facing down the Croatoan and its lost congregation. Caddy is racing to return Benny's hand to his smoky spirit, and Red and Richter are facing down a supernatural army in the endgame of the apocalypse. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Red and Richter, the Mystery Punchers of the most original form left, having lost Addy, having like a 0.5 in Caddy and whatever Benny and Sally have become, you have a moment where you kind of turn to each other as the lost congregation begins to charge, yelling a variety of incomprehensible things at you. The two of you know what you need to do. You know that Benny is attempting to help. He signaled that he can help, and that if anyone has a chance of reaching him, it's little Caddy Sprinkles. But to buy him time, you face certain doom. What do you say to each other before you turn to face the congregation?
I'll bring Red up to speed. I think this is sort of like a no-nonsense kind of thing. I don't think there's any kind of like sentimentality about this moment for Richter. So he just says, if he buys a cat time, he and Benny are our last hope.
He is the only thing that matters.
Good. So you understand.
And she's going to hold out her hand to him.
And he'll look at me like, what is that?
It's a handshake, Richter.
Ah, yeah. Shakes
Red,
the hand.
Before you do, you remember something. There's a way that mystery punchers shake hands. And Richter never did it.
And so, yeah. Yep. Yep. And she's going to pull it back. She's going to spit in it. And then she's going to hold it out and say, it's got to be a spit shake.
And not having time to question it with like this horde of churchgoers coming up on us. He spits into your hand as well and then shakes it. Just not getting it, but being like, okay, yeah, sure. Oh, and then plus. Immediately hand on the grip of the Tommy gun, and he starts to just like spray into the...
Yeah, I'm imagining this very much as like a Battle of the Bastards moment from Game of Thrones, where it's just like the two of you with just this horde charging, and yeah, you turn back, open fire, Red, you start firing shotgun in one hand, pistol in the other, as the small cat runs for all of your lives. Catty, I'm going to need, please, a dodge check from you.
Dodge, okay.
This is to account for rubble, as well as the movement of the lost congregation.
That is a success.
Cool. So you begin to dart through the legs of they're far enough away that you kind of get out of the way. Can you roll me a spot hidden, please?
Spot hidden is a hard success.
Okay. As you're running towards this building, you can see a fire escape on the far side of the building that you can use to quickly make your way up. But you're keeping an eye, I imagine, over your shoulder at the fucking lost congregation, and you see them begin their kind of like mad charge. And although they're ashen and slightly malformed, you recognize the faces of your parents. What do you do?
Oh.
You can also roll me a save to figure out what you do.
Yeah, I was going to say I have to. And I think this would be, because he's a little kid, this is probably edu because it's the no, not the think.
Yes, yes, you are correct. Yep.
So, all right, that is a success. So I think logically, he would think those were a trick. I think if he'd failed, he would be the cat who would think he could talk his parents into doing the right thing
Agree. Yep.
But I think he's jaded enough after this adventure to learn that not all things that look like good people are good people. Mm-hmm. So it kind of breaks his heart in two. And he sees his friends about to fight his parents, which is gut-wrenching for him. But he is going to keep running towards the fire escape.
Great. Cool. All right, so you continue towards the fire escape. Red and Richter, can you please both roll me a I need ranged, I think firearms SMG probably from you, Richter. You have shotgun, right? That's your shooting skill.
Mine is rifle/shotgun. I don't see SMG. Oh, I do see it now. Yep.
You can go ahead with rifle shotgun. This is a big bad final boss fight. I don't want to leave you kind of up a truth. Like, surprise, here's a thing you've never used before. Good luck. Also, a Tommy gun is kind of built to be idiot proof. It has two handles and it's basically just a murder stick.
I'm basically just holding on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a hose.
Yeah.
A bullet hose.
Yeah.
Red for you, shotgun, please. And a handgun. Let's get both of them.
Shotgun and a handgun. All right.
Somewhat shockingly, that is an extreme success.
Well,
wow. Okay, that's
fuck
a
me.
Big old fail with the shotgun and the skill of hand.
How big a fail?
Not quite a crit fail, but we were getting there.
Yay! That's what I wanted to be
we
sure.
We were getting there. No. Yeah,
just in the vicinity, you know?
It was a 91. No, Woo. And then a success with the pistol.
Okay. All right, cool. One sec. I'm just looking up. We've never rolled with a Tommy gun, so just got to grab those sweet, sweet stats.
Yeah, sorry for just pulling that out of my ass and being like, I have a Tommy gun now.
My dude, I clearly established it at the end of the last session because the father showed up with a Tommy gun because I think they're cool. So, yeah, no, you're correct. Okay. Amazingly, in the Pulp Cthulhu book, the book you think would have the Tommy gun, it is not, or it's listed under a name that isn't the Tommy gun. Go ahead and roll me a D8 and a D6 and add 3.
So that's a combined roll of 12 plus 3 for 50.
Holy shit. And then Claire, for you, roll. Please, I'll take a D8 plus 2.
Okay. Come on, baby. 6.
Okay. All right. Time to do some crowd math. Yo. Okay. So you begin to open fire into the crowd. We'll get to the shotgun thing in a moment. But you're opening fire. As you're spraying bullets across them, Richter, as you know, a Jack Skellington of a man trying to hold on to a Tommy gun, it's going a bit wild, but it kind of doesn't matter because it's a horde. Every so often, the bullets spray across the face of one of these ashen monsters, and to your horror, as the ash blows away, you can see the sack that many of the inheritors wore, the bloodstained sack mask. But even that splinters under the bullets. You get the sense that it's almost a memory of what they were wearing when they died, not necessarily part of their bodies now. And or the Crotone's just fucking with you. Also entirely possible.
Richter never said it out loud, but these are faces that he saw like over a decade ago on that day. So he has no reservations about cutting them down. Yeah,
for sure. Yep. Admittedly, Richter, despite actually... oh man, I rolled high. You can regain 8 sanity. you are,
you know, the last time I had 10 I sanity.
as you open fire, obviously this is a conflicting scenario for a few people, but weirdly, you are back in that moment where you charged the church with a gun and the medallion to try and save Sally and the kids from their parents and from Pastor Thomas. And suddenly it all clicks, where your brain has been struggling and trying to piece things together and confused. In this moment, it's almost like the two lenses finally sync up. And even though this is a completely maddening, incomprehensible moment, the act of battling these things to save the kids is kind of a moment your brain has been struggling to find again, and now it does. So, yes, you are more in your element than you've been in some time. Red, you're firing with your pistol. You swing the shotgun around. And as you do, you just hear a smoky voice say, "Those clothes aren't for girls, Tracy." And you see your mother and father lurching out of the ashen crowd towards you, enough so that the shotgun in your Skellahan trembles. And you open fire and blow your father's arm off, but he keeps coming as the arm slowly reforms. What do you do?
It's reforming. I train everything I have at them and fire.
Great. Go ahead and roll again, please. I'll give you advantage on this because I feel like there's a lot of pent-up rage here.
So much pent-up rage. Roll twice again for like both guns.
So the bonus die will be... so roll for both guns. And yep. I would like you to please roll 2 tens, like of your like whatever the tens rolls are. Roll that twice and pick the best in addition to your normal die. It's the way you do advantage in Cthulhu.
Okay, so, oh my God. I keep rolling 90s. That's a 94 for a shotgun.
And is that on two dice in your best? Because if not, roll the tens one again. So the one that got you 90, roll that one again and pick the best of those two.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah. I know it's confusing, but.
Okay. My shotgun is pretty lame. That's still a fail.
Do you toss the shotgun at this point?
To say you had to reload it anyways, it's a shotgun, so fuck it.
Yes. She's gonna toss it, pull out her other pistol.
Great. So I imagine it's like you snap off the shot and then you just open your hand and it just drops out as you reach, like it's like I don't know if you've ever seen someone do the weird power reload thing where they're just like flipping the clip out so they can slide. It's just like shotgun's gone, going for pistol. In slow motion, Zack Snyder style, bullets dancing everywhere. Shotgun bounces off the ground in like that. Mixing metaphors here, but a great moment in Jurassic Park where they're like, Dr. Grant, and it just like pans down to the shotgun being jammed on the ground as they run away and you reach for a pistol. Roll that pistol though, see if you can hold them off.
Yeah,
they're closing in rather rapidly.
Yeah, if we're going with Zack Snyder, then your dad is played by Oscar Isaacs with a lot of grease in his hair.
Or Jeffrey Dean Morgan for like a hot sec.
That's a success.
Cool. I mean, if you didn't shoot a random criminal in Crime Alley would several times in the same film.
I get to roll the tens twice for this.
That's
one,
correct.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Damn it, I can't spend the luck. That's just a regular success.
Okay. So if you could roll damage, please, for the pistol.
Two.
Okay.
It still sucks having to shoot your parents.
Yes. sorry, it's a 2 + 2, so 4.
Oh, 4.
Cool. I also please need you to lose 4 sanity.
Oh boy.
These are not people you ever thought you'd have to contend with again. So the rage is there, but also the like hi trauma, good to see you. Didn't realize we were dealing with this today.
Oh, and you're calling me my name. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, this is great.
Does anything that I should know of happen when you get down to 1 sanity? Because it's never happened before.
1 sanity is fine. 0 sanity is a slightly different scenario.
How much sanity is it before you get one of those rando crazies off the chart, Tom?
It's 1, apparently, for her. So hang tight. Cool.
Best game ever!
So the congregation is now closing in. Caddy, you having made the difficult choice to leave your parents behind, struggle not to picture them as they were in life every time you hear bullets rip through and it is ash, so it sounds like bullets hitting sand. Like it's just that kind of like poof, poof, poof sound as the congregants are attacked. And you run for the fire escape. So this is just a straight up climb check. You're not actually in any active danger.
Okay.
Right now. So really the only distraction is trying to, save the day.
Awesome. Oh yeah, man. That's an extreme success.
Woo! So, you are good at climbing. We've established that. So you begin to like rapidly dart up the metallic stairs. There's kind of that adorable like clang clang as like your little paws hit as you quickly make your way up. I think fully just committing to being a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think there's no hesitation there. What's your plan when you encounter Benny? You don't have to outline your plan, but what does Caddy think is going to happen? Like, what's he thinking? Like, okay, here's what I'm going to do.
Jam hand onto wrist. Everything else solves itself. Like, I think he's just like, I get him his hand and then he saves us.
Okay. You book it up onto the roof. And you see the smoky form of Benny pulling himself together. And the eyeless, smoky form with its slack, black-mouthed jaw kind of hanging open limply looks up and despite the lack of eyes is clearly staring directly at you. Can you roll me a sanity check, please? You thought you were ready for this, but you can't ever really be ready for the smoky ghost of your old friend.
I rolled under my sanity.
Very nice. So
I think this is just pure little kid resilience. I think this is accepting the rules of the world as given to him.
Still going to lose 3 sanity, but
completely agree.
Yeah.
I honestly, should we double that? He did see his parents.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. So take 6.
I'm impressed you have that much sanity that you would like.
Yeah. I mean, it's a new character.
Right. Yeah.
He's a 12-year-old inside a cat's body. There's a certain durability that comes with when you subtract all other fucking skills that don't involve being a cat.
Yeah, it's why the kids are so good in the movie Jumanji. They just are like, oh, okay, sure.
Or it. You know, they're crafty.
Honestly, yes. So the creature looks at you and with a smoky, difficult voice just says, Stamp boy, you're a cat now. And they kind of chuckles.
Sally, why did you take my parents' eyes out? Catty is walking like sideways, like crab walking towards Benny while having this conversation.
This is Benny who's talking to you, by the way.
Oh, Benny's talking
to
you that way.
Yes, this is like the slack-jawed monster thing looking at you.
Well, Benny... Yeah, I'm a cat now. It's different than I thought, but, you know, it's fun. And still just walking towards pretending normal.
He gestures to himself and says, me too. Not exactly what I imagined when I went to investigate a creepy house like we used to. Hey, Catty?
Yeah?
I'm sorry. And eyes burst from the face and the shoulders as it begins to grow in size. And you realize that the Croatone is here. So you could speak to Sally if you want, but it begins to storm towards you.
Catty will just yell, go, mystery punchers! And he will pull Benny's hand out of the side of his pack with his teeth. And then he will just launch himself at the Croatoan. So he's got his 2 claws and Benny's hand as a fist.
You leap through the air, Keanu style, the world's most dramatic cat. And we cut back down to Red and Richter. The congregation is upon you. You get 1 last round to act before they swarm you. What do you do? I should add before... you do this because I'm not giving you too much sensory information because I'm stressed. The weapon assault is working, particularly Richter just fanning them is creating gaps. One of you could likely make a run for it.
I was just gonna say, she's just gonna hold her hand out to Richter and just say, Richter, give me the gun and go. Go make sure Catty does what needs to be done. Go, please.
I toss the Tommy gun to Red and run.
Try to save Catty?
Try to join Catty. I don't think I know what's going on there.
Do you want to roll an int to see kind of where Richter falls on all this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll say you do this as she's yelling at you to throw the gun. So before you toss.
The slow motion decision moment in a Telltale game.
True. Man.
At an 84, that's a success.
Whoa.
Damn. Yeah.
Damn, you're smart. Richter, you're again just like as she's yelling, you're kind of looking, and as you just did, Tyler, you kind of get like you consider this for a moment. You know, Catty's got the hand. Catty can climb. You can't climb. Also, I don't think you have a plan for the Croatoan.
No, nope.
Like that's not a you thing. But it might listen to Tracy.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes more sense. I'll say 9, Red, you go. And then, like, the Tommy gun, like, runs dry. And I just stoop down and pick up the priest's Tommy gun. And I just start over again.
Yep. Red, you're clearly confused about this and don't really want to go. What do you say?
She will listen to you, Red.
Have I noticed that the Crotone is gone?
Crotone's still there, unfortunately. It has taken control of Benny, but it is still very much floating, controlling the Lost Congregation.
Then, yes, I think in that split second decision, it's like, if we both stay here, we both might die. If I leave, maybe Caddy won't die. So she will, she'll just kind of give him a nod and book it.
Okay.
For the building.
Can you roll me a... Are you going for the building or the Crotone?
Oh. Right. The Crotone. Sorry. Yes.
Okay. Can you roll me, please, a dodge check? A very, very important dodge check.
Yep.
Or I'd give you dodge or I'd give you fighting brawl.
Oh, no. Dodge. Adrian was the brawler, not me.
Yeah, I like to give options, you know.
Come on, baby. Okay. That is, it's a success.
Okay.
This dice doesn't like me.
Okay. So you take off barreling through. You take one moment to put a bullet through the sort of like shifting shade of your dad at close range. And then you keep running. Richter, you're firing the Tommy gun and now you don't need to aim because they're so close that it's literally just like turning it, getting closer and closer to your body. And you can feel the weight of like you can taste ash in your throat. It smells like you remember the church smelling back when you were there. As the Lost Congregation begins to pile onto you, Your vision begins to blur. Ash is getting in your eyes. It's getting harder and harder to see. As you blink, you can see just a flash of red in a hat disappearing throughout the crowd. You can see a building that you assume Caddy has climbed. And you can see Sally, who, although she is the Croatoan now, is still the girl you attempted to save in the church all those years ago. And although the congregation is piling onto you, you feel like maybe, just maybe, you saved these kids. And as your vision blurs with a dark film, the ash of the dead people of Helmfirth, you see symbols. Green symbols from your childhood that you thought you'd lost. And slowly but surely, they begin to glow brighter. Caddy, you're leaping through the air at the Crotone. This thing is a full Resident Evil monster now. It is the sort of hunched shape of Benny, of the smoky outline. And again, not an ash monster, but kind of like a smoky form.
Yep.
Only now, eyes of various sizes have burst through his body and kind of contorted him into almost like a bulbous form with just how many eyes have burst from him. And it's kind of lurching towards you, and you have leapt through the air, claws out, hand
in
your teeth.
This whole plan is to land and jam Benny's hand directly into its mouth, hoping Benny can help. And then he's just yelling, "Do your magic, do your magic, do your magic!" But he has a hand in his mouth, so it comes out.
It's like also a cat throats. It's like,
It's a train wreck.
All right, so... with that in mind, let's play some Calvin Ball, shall we?
Yeah,
so you're not trying to attack. You're actually trying to get you're trying to get the hand into the sort of spawn of the Croatoan, the Benny form. So I would argue this isn't a melee attack. This is probably like it's a reflexy thing. I would give you to this day, since the first time we played this, every time I look at track, I'm like, and field. No, it's fine thing. I'd give you throw. I don't think you'll want it, but I'd give it to you. Sleight of hand is, I think, probably our best bet here. Or jump.
I could do I could do. Do you know what? I think jump actually makes the most sense for what's happening here.
Yeah, I agree. Because like it's basically like you plan the whole thing on your trajectory, not like, oh, I'll get there and be fancy. It's just like I'm gonna ram myself.
Did I aim right? Is exactly. All we're wondering about this cat. That is a success.
All right, I'm gonna roll a dodge, but it will not come as a surprise to know that the shambling remote-controlled eye monster, not tremendously dodgy, which is good for you because it would have been a one, but now it is a failure because he had disadvantage. So I rolled 0-1, and then I rolled like 82. So you're good. Roll 81, alrighty. But you're good. So you leap. Explain to me what the fuck this looks and feels like. So you jam this hand.
It's a long leap. So when he leaps, it's almost like the camera would be shooting it from below, and you just realize how long a cat is at full extension doing an upward dive. And he soars towards the monster, and the front paws just cushion the landing, and the claws sink in, but just enough to slow as the back paws land as well, to just daintily in slow-mo, it's all a big ram, until he just gently sets it in the mouth, and then backflips away if he can, just to get Benny's hand in there and try to bounce off as a cat.
Cool. All right, now I need that dodge check to bounce off.
That's very reasonable. That is a hard success.
Amazing. So yeah, you bounce off, and you do that less than dignified cat in the air thing. So it's a very like elegant leap off, but then as soon as you're in the air, it's like long cat, limbs at odd angles, very jellical. The creature gulps and sort of stumbles back. The eyes all look in confusion down. And then Benny's hand bursts through its stomach, and slowly the fingers wrap into a fist, and a single thumb comes up. And then the eyes burst, and it's almost like a small black hole is opened, and the entire body evaporates into it, is pulled rapidly into it, as you are sprayed with eye goo. The hand bends, cracks, inverts inward as bone muscle bursts through the flesh of the fingers, and they're pulled in as well. Your friend is gone. Meanwhile, Red, you're running through the ash zombies on your way to the Croatoan. They're now just getting dense enough that they're not attacking you per se, but they are definitely hindering your movement.
Mm-hmm.
The Tommy gun goes quiet.
Mm-hmm.
How do you force your way forward?
Fucking punch.
All right. So,
punching with guns, just like pistol whipping.
Gun kata. I get it. I'll give this to you as a handguns, because I feel like this really is like, for lack of a better term, like one of the top down arcade games where it's just, or like, there's a top-down Tomb Raider game where literally Lara can just infinitely fire two pistols in a straight line. It's kind of like that. You're just like blasting the entire clip forward, not to hurt anything, but just to fucking make room. Yes. And when those guns run dry, it's just like smacking ash away. Yep. So go ahead and roll your two attacks. We're not going to roll damage because you're not actually trying to hurt these things. You're just trying to get through them.
That's more like it. It's a hard success on one. And yeah, that's two hard successes. I switched my dice.
Put the other one in dice jail.
Yeah.
All right, amazing. So you're cutting a fiery line through these things. You're making progress. You're almost at the sort of burnt edge of the church that you remember so intensely. What's going through your mind right now?
What's going through my mind is ooh, two ideas. Is either lure this creature into where Sally disappeared into her little portal thing, because that makes sense, or shove this scrap of cloth down its throat.
Okay, cool.
I had that idea before Ryan decided to throw his hand down the throat. So excellent minds.
Everyone threw it. Yeah, it's a Mystery Puncher classic, you know? Yeah. Honestly, Dr. Stelleman, he could have got that down his throat if that's how that had gone. And he would have deserved it because that guy was a prick. You're blasting your way through. You're almost to the Croatoan, but you can feel the mob shift. Mm-hmm. With the felling of Richter, they're turning their attention towards you. And suddenly what was kind of like, I'm pushing through a busy crowd, is now an attentive crowd. And suddenly they begin to swipe at you. Can you roll me a dodge, please?
Yes. What is a crit fail?
96.
Fumble, my friend.
96.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend one luck to make it a regular fail.
All right. Well, that's good. It means you'll only take 6 points of damage.
That puts me at negative one.
You're down? Yep. All right. The creatures swarm you, clawing and attacking and drag you down. How much luck do you have left?
Two.
You can spend that. I'll let you spend that to bring you to zero.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you could double the damage, you could not eat it, but I feel like this is a fair spend. So yeah, they're clawing at you. You fall, your vision begins to blur, and you go down. Richter. The sigils are clear behind your eyes. You can feel the power that you've tapped a couple times now kind of flowing through you. I'd like to offer you a bargain. Would you like to spend the rest of your sanity to unleash whatever is burned on the back of your brain?
Do I have any context for what that means, or is this just a...
You can feel.
Let's find out. And
you're being swarmed. The gun has run out. Mm-hmm. They're on top of you. You know you've been able to mind blast before, but I don't feel like you're really. That's not a thing you feel like you have full control over. I don't think. Would you say Richter's like, yes, I can like trigger this, or is it just kind of like in extreme circumstance?
It's no. There's almost no control there.
So that's kind of what that's how I'm thinking of this. Is less I will sacrifice my brain to do this thing, and more like. You can feel that this thing is there. You don't really know how to tap it.
Okay.
But you also don't know what it will necessarily do.
Do you pull the pin out of the grenade?
That's exactly
it,
Mark.
Yeah. But even then, it's like, you know what a grenade does. I know that I chose to stay behind with the gun. Mm-hmm. So I think that is kind of where I'm coming from when I decide to... follow that itch at the back of my brain, that weird burning sensation that I haven't felt since I was a child in my mind.
So you're going to pull the pin or you're not going to pull the pin?
I am going to pull the pin.
All right. For a second, those letters make all of the sense in the world. And it's like you finally remembered the name of an actor from that one movie that one time, but like after years. And honestly, it is the biggest relief. And I think it's almost like an aha moment. What do you say as it goes off?
I think just the only thing on my mind, going back to that place and that sensation, is Ingrid. So I just whisper my sister's name.
And that's it. Caddy, I need a dodge check. You are blasted away by the force of this. You've managed to jump, which is fine. But I'm basically looking for like a land on your feet, not off the edge of the building check.
That is an extreme success.
So you do a full Transformers like power slide.
No, it isn't, Tom. I hate to walk back my role, but it's really hard to tell the difference between an 11 and 100 when you're using an online role.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror anthology Magenta Presents.
Or season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. I am Inquisitor Caveat Ventus, Keeper of the Inquisition's Black Library, and I'm releasing my report on the Valentine Heresy. It's an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Join Ryan LaPlante as Inquisitor Lucius Valentine, and Laura Elizabeth and Tyler Hewitt as hive-bred siblings Lyric and Alto, as this unlikely trio try to save the Emperor from a cabal of mysterious enemies in a series created by Games Master Tom McGee. Can these unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war? Find out in the first episode of Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy. Available now.
You still slide.
That is 100.
Slide off the building.
But there's no lip because it's the 30s and everything is dangerous. You are blasted off the side of the building. And you begin to fall. As you do so, you can see in the distance the Croatoan drop from its sort of hovering state as eyes begin to burst and twist around it. It almost looks like someone's got it in a chokehold. And as you fall, you think of that thumbs up and you think of Benny. And part of the reason you never wanted to do the spit shake was that you're kind of worried that, you know, if you spit in your hand and Red spits in her hand, then whatever was in your mouth, whatever was in her mouth would mix. And then you'd have two different types of germs. And there's a whole like backwash thing that was very concerning to you. And you realize that you may have just let Benny backwash the Croatoan. So you did it. You did what you could. And honestly, you're a 12-year-old trapped in a cat after escaping a hobo's belly, and that's a lot. What do you think you're thinking as you fall? It doesn't need to be meaningful. It can just be panicked. That's also totally fine.
I think as he falls, there's a fair amount of panic, and I feel like there's that weird moment of clarity that you have in those kind of ultra panic moments where he's like, ah, I just wish I wasn't sticky. And that's what he hits, is just thought.
Perfect. With those profound thoughts in your tiny cat mind, you hit. There's a blast, a powerful blast of green lightning. Red, as you're drifting in and out of consciousness, you feel it wash over you. It tosses your body rolling sort of across the filthy broken earth, and you smash up against the side of the church. As you look up, there is a moment of tremendous clarity as the ash has cleared and the lost congregation has been sent home. Amidst that, you see the fragile, unmoving form of the man whose spoons you stole that one time. Who, as it turns out, wasn't just some crotchety old fuck who ran a store, but actually was one of you all along. You can hear the Croatoan struggling. And as you kind of roll over, your face burning from this green electrical energy, you can see, again, almost a figure behind her struggling and kind of pulling on her. You're drifting in and out of consciousness. You're barely alive. But you're a few feet from the struggle. What do you do?
I'm going to move hell and high water to get over there and take this stupid denim scrap and force it into it.
Well, you can't get up. You are,
I can't get it.
You can get over there by crawling, but you are, when you were knocked unconscious, you are, I'm giving you the gift of crawl, in a very like dying gasp kind of way.
Got it. I will take the gift of crawl happily. Mm-hmm. And so you have Sally, like the being, and then there's something behind it.
So basically, the way to think of this is you're not super close. You're a few meters away.
Yeah.
Sally, the Crotone seems to have been dragged back into the church a bit. The wings are still there, but they're actually very chaotic and scattered. And you're kind of getting double vision as sometimes it just looks like the figure of the Crotone is in a chokehold and being pulled backward. Sometimes you feel like you can see Benny. But every time you blink, it's kind of a different thing. Also, like your skin's on fire and you're dying.
Okay.
So I'm going to need some checks to get you over there.
Okay.
So you're going to start crawling towards Croton?
Yes, I am.
All right. Give me a con save, please.
Ooh. Okay.
God damn it. It's a fail. That's a big old fail.
All right. So this is going to be a hard ask, but I demand it. What does attempting to get to the Crotone and not being able to, what does that look like and what does it feel like for Red?
It feels like the worst pain, the mental pain over physical pain. I don't even think she's feeling physical pain anymore. It's all trumped by feeling weaker than she ever has since she was a child. And forced by her parents to wear stupid dresses and stay inside and be a lady and all go to church and do all of this garbage. And I think it's just a question of her arms are giving out. She's trying to drag herself with her arms across the pavement and she just can't. So I think her last action would just be before she falls to the ground would be to reach out her skele hand towards this person who used to be her friend that has the scrap of denim in it. And with her whatever breath she has, just say, Sally, I'm sorry.
All right. Your vision is blurring. You hold it up, and you just hear a small voice say, Tracy? And then you feel a hand, a cold, cold hand wrap around your wrist. And a secondary voice saying, she abandoned you, Sally. Only we were there for you, just like they abandoned me and us. Don't be weak, Sally. You get a final word to Sally before the darkness consumes you. What do you say?
Hearkening all the way back from the moment we were in that classroom and we became the mystery punchers. She's just going to say, run.
And with that, the darkness consumes you. And then you feel a hard, slimy hand on your back. You hear the sound of a badly injured cat. And a deep baritone voice says,
"Don't worry, Red. I got you."
Ryan, as you lift Red up, you've got Caddy, who you caught on your way through, under one arm. Some flesh fell off, but that's okay. Addy doesn't need flesh. You've got the frail form of Old Man Richter slung over your shoulders. And as the skin falls away from your hand, you pull Red up to standing and kind of clutch her under your arm. You're not quite sure how you got here. Some guy in your head said you had a couple minutes, that he kind of couldn't drive this thing anymore and he kind of needed you to. Guy sounded like a bit of a dick. You didn't like him. But then you saw sprinkles fall from the sky. So you figured you should handle that. And then you saw Old Man Richter having a nap. And I mean, come on, Grandpa. And Red was also having a nap. And this is not a time for napping because Sally's there and she looks sad.
I don't know why you're asleep. We got stuff to do.
And then I think what he'll do is just like, I'm imagining there's like rubble and shit around.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I think he'll just like set Red up and just like hold her by the, he's still got Richter over one shoulder and like a cat under his arm, but he's just that like leaner against the wall and be like,
"You take this gun and you do you."
Hopefully get like a groggy nod. And then Richter, he'll be like,
"Well, maybe Grandpa, yeah, you can kind of sleep."
And then he'll put Richter down and sit him up against the wall. Richter, in the same
something
way.
Incredibly foul smelling is carrying you around. Your eyes are still blurred from ash, and your body tingles. Admittedly, you feel great. You can barely move, but like it's like you had a really good massage. And you see the rotting, broken form of Addy Diesel. And in your head, you just hear, "Just let him have this. The body was falling apart. You still get your farewell, and I will deal with you one day, Richter."
Addy?
Yeah, just a second. I gotta talk to Sally.
And he's just petting an unconscious cat in his hand, but it's like rotting, so it's kind of like slapping wet meat on a cat every few seconds. What does Addy see when he looks at Sally? Because he's in a weird supernatural state himself.
Well, interestingly, it's partially you're in a supernatural state. It's also partially what has occurred since Red passed out. You can actually see Sally standing... looking confused, her lip twisted, and behind her you can see a mass of eyes and tendrils sort of floating, almost like essentially the size of like a hot air balloon behind her. It seems to stretch out in all directions, and it's expanding, but all the eyes are fixed on Sally, who seems to be having a hard think. She's looking at a scrap of denim. You remember it as one of your VD cloths.
"Oh, hi, Sally. You still got that VD I gave you."
And her dark eyes flick up to you, and you can see tears. And she says, "Yeah, it was always a great comfort to me and them." And you hear kind of a massive shaking voice say,
"No, no comforts, just revenge. They slaughtered us, Sally. They abandoned us. We will destroy them."
"I don't like saying bad words, but I think you might need to shut the fuck up," he just says to the spooky thing in the distance. "I'm talking to my friend, thank you. Now, Sally..."
And you hear a chuckle, and Benny, who is like barely holding his form together, is just like, "Fuck, I missed you, Addy."
"Oh, hi, Benny." And he just takes that as a given. Yeah. And then just kneels down. And he's like
a broken, like horrible flesh rent hand waves at you.
Yeah.
"Why are you so sad, though?"
And Sally just says, you've got real strong, Addie, because you had to, right? After everything that happened. I got real strong too.
Oh, okay.
After everything that happened. And you, I know you've been taking care of Tracy. That's why I gave you the gift of that fish person. The Croatone was kind of mad we did all that, but I gave Richter his dead Nazi. I gave you your fish person. And I gave Red the mayor. I took control of the King in Yellow for you. Mystery punchers. But I got strong because I had to. And you did too, because Tracy's a liar. She can't protect anyone. She let me die. And I think she let you die. So I got strong like you.
Well, here's the thing, though. We all knew Tracy couldn't protect us.
And we were all supposed to Sally looks so confused.
We were all supposed to protect each other. I joined because I could help protect her and you and Benny. And you had bad stuff happen to you. So did I. That's why I'm not smart anymore. But look around. Who's here to try to help you right now? There's me.
He's a disgusting, massive monster. Yep.
There's Benny's hand, which is pretty much all we get of Benny currently. Red, I think, is having a toast problem with the jam coming out. Grandpa Richard, so tired, he can't even stay awake, but he's here. And Sprinkles. We're all here to save you now.
Caddy, what do you say to all this?
Ha! Big Me is. I think he might actually be smart.
And Benny says, "Sally, you keep saying we left you to die. Red and Addie ran because you died." We all thought you were gone, and I kept looking. And that's when you saved me after that fucking creepy guy cut my hand off. You pulled me out of that tunnel, and you saved me. I never stopped looking for you. Neither did Richter. You may not remember him. He was that crazy guy who owned the store. He helped us solve a couple of the cases. He and I, we were on it. We worked night and day to find you. Richter, you're drifting in enough to contribute to this. Do you have anything to add?
No. The kids have got this. The kids, yeah. It was always like, there was always some distance between us. Yep. You know, I was always old man Richter to them. Mm-hmm. And this is the kids' time. Yeah.
Sally follows Adrian's pointing and looks to you, Red.
Sally, we were kids. I never left you in my heart. But you know we do what we have to survive. But all of this is because we came back for the mystery punchers. Without you, we don't exist. So come back to us.
You hear a crash as the remaining buildings of downtown crumble under the ever-expanding weight of the Croatoan.
Sally, you think that we left you to die, but here's the thing. I only learned this recently when I was in some sort of weird space after bad things happened. But I think everybody dies, including me, because this is not how a body is supposed to work. But not everybody has to die alone. Because, like, I'm going to die soon, he says as his arm falls off. Just smashes to the caddy.
Like, rolls out of it.
Yeah.
He's like, but you and me, we could die together right now and then go wherever next is together if you want to.
But we can't do that, Sally, unless we punch this one last mystery.
And she looks at all of you. And that little tiny smile you remember spreads across her face. It's shy. It's like she's embarrassed to let anyone see her smile. And she looks to you, Adrian. She looks to Caddy. Looks to you, Richter. She gives a glance to Benny. And then she makes eye contact with you, Red. And her eyes clear. And you can see her irises sort of rimmed with tears. And she just shakes her head slightly and she says, you know, I think you were actually right the first time. We shouldn't have to die alone. She extends a hand to you, Adrian. And then she turns to the Croatoan.
Well, Addy will take the hand. He's only got one hand left, but he'll offer it.
So she grabs that hand. Then she takes both of your hands and presses them out against the massive bulk of the creature and says, it's okay now. I know it hurt. And I know you felt abandoned and that people left you. But we won't. We'll all go together. Right, Addy?
Yeah. And we're all kind of good, and we're all kind of bad. And what that means is we're not monsters, because there's no more monsters.
And you hear a deep, booming chuckle that shatters windows. And the Croatoan says, honestly, that's all I ever wanted. And there's no flash of light. There's no dramatic explosion. They're just gone. The Croatoan, Sally, and the body of Adrian collapses in a messy, bloody heap. And suddenly there's silence. And there's calm. And as Addy said, for a brief moment at least, there are finally no more monsters. Richter and Red, you're not sure how long you lay there. You're both very injured. At one point, Richter, you're surprised to feel some warmth returning to your extremities. And you realize looking down that it's not in fact warmth. It is a small cat who is curled up in your lap to sleep. Through the clouds above the ruins of Helmfirth, the sun breaks through as a new day dawns on the wreckage of the town. And weirdly, every so often, both of you, as you drift in and out of consciousness, you could swear you feel bandages being wrapped around you. And when you wake, there are very bloody, badly wrapped bandages. Red, you're kind of frustrated by this because you hate mysteries until you see a skinless, inside-out hand with a black doctor's bag dragging bandages.
Jesus Christ.
Slowly across the street towards you. And then there's the sound of cars and vehicles descending on the town from all sides. Red, I think in that classic end of a gangster film way, you just kind of like look at your gun and just race it. As a bunch of incredibly like brand spanking new shiny vehicles roll up. And in something both probable and improbable, Caddy, you recognize the logo from your decoder ring. It would seem that Ambrosia has found you after all. And Devin Carroll steps out from one of the vehicles with Senior, is it Potatoes, your dog?
Senior Ice Cream.
Senior Ice Cream. The police chief, as far as you're concerned.
Yep.
And just yells, everyone, they're here. Fuck. And immediately you're both just like swept up onto stretchers and sort of like hurried from the scene. The last thing you hear before the ambulance doors slam is a trembling voice as Devin says, wait, Benny? At which point you both finally give up on the whole consciousness thing. It's been serving you poorly. So you finally give up the ghost. You wake up a couple days later in a hospital. You're in Arkham, a fabulous metropolis far from the ruins of Helmfirth. Devin's there to greet you. He looks terrible. He's clearly been up, making sure you're all right. But you notice that clutched in his hand is a bloody, skinless hand that he seems to kind of have crossed in his lap. Immediately, you're assaulted by doctors and nurses, checking your consciousness, your vitals. Caddy, you've been allowed to stay, but you are in a cat carrier, which in the 30s is just kind of a box. But honestly, there's a blanket in there. It's pretty dope. But he quickly shoos them all out of the room. And he says, hey, you're back. You're awake. I don't know what you did, but you did it. Ambrosia's been over the site 100 times, and it's benign. Whatever was under Helmfirth, whatever was assailing it, is gone. You did it. What happened?
Adrian did it.
Yeah, well, he really did.
He was here. And now he's gone again.
Caddy, do you
what?
Interrupt this?
I mean, I'm just in a box. Can someone let me out of this freaking box?
And Devin's like, wait, the cat? Okay, all right, sure.
Yeah, I didn't want anybody to know before I knew we were okay. I'm still here.
No, you are. You are still here. But that thing, Richter, that thing is still out there.
What thing?
Richter, you're awake as well.
Nyarlathotep, that thing that took over him.
Oh, and like Devin's like, Nyarlathotep. They've got a whole file on that thing. Don't go looking for that thing. I don't know what it did to you, but trust me, that is old magic. You don't want to fuck with that thing.
It will come calling when it is ready. A bargain was struck.
And that is Devin's face falls and says, yeah. All right.
And to my money, we fulfilled that bargain. We got rid of the Croatoan. And it gave Addy back to me. Even if just for a minute.
And Devin's eyes kind of go wide. He says, wait. You made a deal with Nyarlathotep and it paid out?
Yeah, it's just, it's bed mass. You know, it's the order of operations.
And he nods. He's like, actually, yeah, no, exactly. The rules are very clear. If you made a deal with Nyarlathotep and the deal, the conditions of the deal were maintained, then it has no sway over you. I mean, look, and he kind of leans in, he's like, from what I read, the guy's kind of a prick. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if he threatened you on the way out, but I wouldn't be too worried. Also, and he kind of looks at you, Richter, and he's like, admittedly, at your age, sir, I feel like that may not be what gets you, or if it does, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And suddenly the door gets booted open.
And, meow.
And the old mayor of Helmfirth comes in behind a full-on John Hamm-looking son of a bitch who's wearing an incredibly well-cut suit, million-dollar grin, and just says, ah, yes, Richter, Red, and he looks down at the cat and says, I assume this is one of the famous sprinkles I've heard of, yes?
Meow.
Who are you?
Hi. It's a pleasure to meet you. My name's Tom McGee. I'm one of the heads here of Ambrosia. Listen, you guys have done some phenomenal work. And honestly, I got to tell you, I'm a little embarrassed. We had the mayor here who's supposed to be keeping an eye on things. I understand he cut town right before a King in Yellow situation, which is not cool, man. Not cool. In any case, you guys really saved our ass, because that would have been really embarrassing if that all went tits up. So I really appreciate all the work you've done. Really, really great work. We here at Ambrosia could not be happier with what you did, and happy to meet you, quite frankly. Red, I understand your gang. Well, I understand they're gone now, and Richter, your store was unfortunately consumed by the Croatoan, which I should mention was an almost unknown old one until you guys found it. So bravo, that's some fantastic work. We wouldn't have even known that thing existed, so bullet dodged, am I right? In any case, you guys did some fantastic work, and we would be honored if you want to join our ranks. I understand you'll need some time, heal up, we'll have some food and drink brought. You guys are in much better shape than you were. Our doctor's been working around the clock, best technology, spared no expense. But I just wanted to thank you all personally, and again, extend my gratitude. You did some fine work here. Is Devin taking care of you? He's a new recruit. He showed up with the mayor, but he's proven himself pretty good, aren't you, Devin? He like slaps Devin in the back. It's like, yeah, so we're all doing good here.
If I could have a moment with my friends, please, sir.
Sure. You know what? Take all the time you need. We're in no rush here. Not anymore, at least. According to our scryers, the next apocalyptic event isn't for at least another few months. So honestly, you know, smoke them if you got them. Am I right? All right, cool.
And I'll see
you
over. She's going to hold up one finger and just say, but if you care to repay us, there is a gang in Boston under the direction of Capone that needs taking care of.
Oh, you know what? Don't even need to. Justice system, just put them away for tax evasion of all things. You kidding me? Tax evasion. They're going to fall apart immediately. But you know what? I'll take credit for it. So you're welcome. You're welcome. There we go. Debt paid in full. All right. You guys rest up. You take it easy. We'll be talking real soon. And he leaves, and Devin just kind of closes the door. The mayor gives you one last kind of cowed look. He's clearly kind of like a whipped dog at this point, and then just kind of shuffles out. And Devin just like smiles, nods, and closes the door and turns back to you all and says, yeah, so I think they're actually part of all of this. I'm investigating, but don't trust these guys, okay?
I was not about to. And I was about to say that I have had just enough of this mystical, fantastical life that you seem to be embroiled in, sir. And
look, I was just trying to save my boyfriend here, and I guess he's a hand now. Oh, he says hi, by the way. We've got some weird spectroscopes. He said he's your inside man now, so if you need any weird, ethereal knowledge, he's got your back.
And I'll be the inside cat. I can sneak around because they only heard me say meow.
This is true. Listen, guys, I just wanted to make sure you're all right. I'm sure you need a minute. I'll leave you to it. Benny asked to stay here. So and he like puts Benny down on the bed. He says, I'll be outside if you need me. And out he goes.
I like to think that there's a pause. You know that moment at the end of Return of the King where all the hobbits sit at the table and they just kind of have that moment where they all realize what they've been through and nobody says anything and it's beautiful. And I like to think that there's just a little bit of that moment.
There is
before Red turns to Caddy and just looks at him and says, I made the mistake of never asking your predecessor what he wanted and where he wanted to be and what he wanted to do and what would make him happy. And we spent a long time in Boston, Caddy, and running things, running from the law, running bullets, running drugs, running booze. And that was my life. That was what I wanted. But what do you want?
Well, I'd like to do good and stop bad. And he gives both of you a knowing look, which is weird coming from a cat because it has that little kid intensity. Punch mysteries, he says, raising both of his paws in the air as though it's a big victory moment.
Which it is, until you hear the beeping. A loud, incessant beeping. And Richter, this is just fucking poison to your ears because you hate mechanical shit. At which point you remember the device in your pocket. And Reinheimer's dying words, that 2 days from then, you had a date with time. And only too late do you realize that time is now. And with tiny paws in the air, mysteries demanding to be punched, a massive blue flash engulfs the room. And the mystery punchers are pulled through time.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
With a flash of blue light, the three of you fall into a pile of skulls. The air smells of diesel and of that faint aftershock of lightning recently having struck the ground. You hear a blitz siren roaring as the three of you two of you struggle to your feet, one of you struggle to your paws. It's really hard to get traction on a bunch of skulls. Red, you hear a buzzing and turn to see three fighter jets soar over you, leaving sort of reddish gold trails in their wake, and the roar of rockets being launched and striking in the distance. You hear the roar of laser fire. Richter, these skulls are very uncomfortable. You struggle to your feet and notice that the chronometer places you deep in the next millennium. As promised, you have arrived in the future. Caddy, you read a bunch of sci-fi stories. No one said it would look like this. Lots of machines, but none of them are shaped like cool rocket tubes, like you were promised. And as the three of you get your bearings, you watch in horror as winged humans in black suits rain fire from assault weapons down on ruined buildings. In the distance, you can see parts of what we as a modern audience would recognize as the Eiffel Tower, the last remains of the twisted metal forming a broken pyramid to man's folly. The human troops on the ground open fire as best they can, darting between buildings. As the sirens continue to blare, you watch the fighter jets shot out of the sky, hitting the ground in massive plumes of explosions. And over your shoulder, Richter, you hear an ancient voice say, "My little owl." And turning, you see a heavy metal suit of armor, like a sort of like a diving suit with a Tesla coil on the back, holding a massive gun, struggling towards you across the skulls. And buried in the chest of this is a large circular glass porthole in which floats the head and the top of the spinal column of Ingrid. Through the voice coder on the armor, she struggles towards you and says, "You came. After all this time, I worried you would not. Who are these? You brought a cat?"
Ingrid, what has happened to you?
And her face, like, floating, fully, like you know, she looks down, but, like, the whole thing kind of floats with her. She looks up and she says,
"My dear little owl, we said we would uncover the mysteries of the universe at all costs, and I am afraid I have done just that. I made a mistake, dear brother. The Fourth Reich, it went too far. Back when it could have changed, I did not know what they were doing, but that is no excuse for what I did. I looked beyond the veil, brother, and I helped him. I helped the Führer to win, and this is the world he has brought."
And she gestures to the winged humans laying waste to the remainder of humanity. She says,
there is a chance, brother, a slim chance. I tricked Reinheimer into returning to your time to bring you here so I could tell you in person. You must stop him when there is still time. And you must stop me when there is still time. In the past, your future, the 40s, you have one brief window to change all this. You must kill Hitler in the past, to prevent him from becoming this, to prevent the Fourth Reich, human extinction, and to prevent..."
And there was a roar, a loud bone rattling roar, as over the horizon, a massive tentacled green shape with wings the size of a city rises, a small dark mustache upon its lip. She reaches out with mechanical arms, slapping a transponder on you, and says,
"You must stop Kathitna at all costs."
There it is.
"Go. Go back in time. And you mystery punch the Nazis for me."
In German, I will say to my sister, "I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make this right, and we will see each other again."
She smiles and she says,
"Thank you, Franz."
And with that, there is a blast of light. And once again, you are pulled through time as Kathitler destroys the last of humanity.
And as they fly through space and time, Caddy looks up to Red and just yells, "Did you get any of that? Because I don't speak German."
Which is fine, because you are spilled onto a war desk in a secret Allied base. At which point, a British officer spills tea all over himself, looks up and says, "Oh, German? Well, perhaps I can be some assistance. Conan Doyle's the name. Let's get to work."
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, the Half-Blind Prophet, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord Abradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, Austin Nut Powers Fry, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Are you emotionally exhausted? Do you have strong feelings about authoritarian power structures? Have you ever stared up at the night sky and felt tiny and alone? If so, ask your doctor about Wolf 359, the award-winning sci-fi audio fiction podcast by Kinda Evil Genius Productions. Side effects may include strange genetic experiments, unreliable AI systems, the potential discovery of alien life, and toothpaste. Find Wolf 359 wherever you listen to podcasts and visit wolf359.fm to learn more.